This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this is your Nishna Valley as we get closer and closer to Easter.
Easter, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting closer now. Easter's later this year than it was last year. It was really early into March, but this year it's kind of late, not only into April, but late April. So a lot of time to enjoy, and it kind of feels nice. I kind of like Easter being around this time
in
of the
April,
year.
Yeah. It definitely makes you feel more spring.
It does.
At least this last week it has.
Well, when the kids are going to go out and do Easter egg hunts or egg rolls, things like that, it's kind of nice to be able to go out and do it in decent weather,
right?
You know, as opposed to going out and bundling up in winter clothing.
Yeah.
And here, kids, it's time to go find all the eggs. They're hidden in the snow banks.
Yeah.
You know, that's no fun. Nobody likes to do that. So, yeah, I hope it works out well for them. Got some Easter egg hunts going on around the area.
We do.
Some of them have been this weekend. There are some others coming up next weekend. I know the Anita Town and Country Club is doing their annual Easter egg hunt on Saturday, April the 19th. And they've got a few different locations. They'll be at the Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab at 10 a.m. for the kids who are 23 months and younger, ages 2 and 3, the preschool, kindergarten. First and second grades, the third, fourth, and fifth grades, they'll be held at the Victory Park and Cam High School football field and the Cam North Elementary areas. And those will all get underway at 10:45. And they'll all have all kinds of prizes and stuff, and those will all be handed out at the Health and Wellness Center in Anita after those Easter egg hunts are finished. Also coming up on Friday, April the 18th, on Good Friday, there'll be an Easter egg hunt that evening at the Messina City Park. And that'll be at 6 o'clock on Friday the 18th. And they are still taking donations for that, by the way, if folks would like to make some cash donations to help offset the costs. The Cumberland Community Club is holding its Easter egg hunt on Saturday, April 19th. That'll be a 2 o'clock start at the Cumberland City Park. And then also the Adair Chamber of Commerce will be sponsoring an Easter egg party for children ages pre-K and under up to 4th grade. And that'll be on Saturday, April 19th. At 10 a.m. at the Adair City Park. And they'll have crafts and snacks afterward. There'll be prizes for folks, too. So hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some area Easter egg hunts in your local communities.
Yeah, I have a few to add to that.
You do? Good.
Yep. In Exira, they're going to have their Easter egg hunt on April 18th. It's at the Exira City Park, and that starts at 11 a.m. for fourth graders and under. I'll also have free hot dogs, popcorn, drinks, prizes, and a petting zoo. So in Exira, it's at the Exira City Park on April 18th at 11 a.m., and that's for fourth graders and under. And then in Audubon, the American Legion and American Legion Auxiliary, their Easter egg hunt will be held on April 18th. That's at 1:30 at John James Audubon Park. So again, that's in Audubon at the John James Audubon Park on April 18th at 1:30. And then over in Wyota, their Easter egg hunt will be held on April 19th at 10 a.m. at the City Park.
Lots and lots of opportunities for kids, too.
Yes.
So, very good. So, some big Easter egg hunts coming up this next weekend. If you can help out in any way, shape, or form with some of those local Easter egg hunts, we'd always encourage you to do that if you can. You know, last week we kind of had some fun on the air. We were talking about some different things that are April. You know, April is the month of this, the month of that. There are some specific days that are designated for different types of things. And one of the things we talked about last week was that April, or I don't remember if it was the month or there was a designated day, but it was like card and letter writing day or
and
letter writing month. And we kind of joked about it that, well, that should be changed because, you know, who writes cards and letters anymore? And
right.
Nowadays, it's all emails and texts and things. Got a card.
Got a card in the mail.
Yeah, I got a card from a listener here this week. I'll withhold her name. Not that it's a bad thing or anything, but
no,
she sent a she sent a nice note. She says a lot of nice things in there, thanking us for a lot of the things that we do. But she mentions in there, she says, this is being written to prove to you that there are a few of us out here who still use snail mail. She says, in fact, I don't even have a computer anymore. And it's a happy miss. Probably don't miss it much at all. Well, we get bogged down so much in all the technology around
we
us.
We do.
We kind of forget about the simple stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I really feel bad for people who don't get letters and cards. It seems like cards and letters, but the only time anybody does that anymore is when they're sending out like thank you notes and things, you know?
Thank yous are invitations.
Yeah, folks don't do much of that anymore. Well, I was looking around a little bit after I got this nice letter. It was Ruth Wise here in Atlantic, by the way, who sent that to me. And thanks, Ruth. Appreciate your listening and I appreciate your feedback, too, and the kind words. But it just kind of made me think a little bit that, you know, we talk so much about like card and letter writing and stuff that people don't so much do it anymore, but it's not just a recent phenomenon. It's not just because of the computers and all that stuff, too. I mean, really, for a long, long time, there have been different types of threats. On the Smithsonian National Postal Museum website, there was an article that was posted there called Methods of Communication That Have Threatened Letter Writing. And I found it kind of interesting looking through it. I'll share some of it with you. It says, before the 1830s, Americans really had no choice but to send their news, however urgent or time-sensitive, by letter. You know, they might instruct a personal messenger to ride all day and night on horseback to deliver that letter. But the fact remained that communication of any kind was dependent upon the physical transportation of mail across a given distance. Couldn't pick up the phone.
No.
So this dependence began to change with the invention of the telegraph in the 1830s. For the first time, Americans were able to send messages back and forth without physically traveling the distance between the two parties. But they say there were, however, some fundamental qualities about the telegraph that made it a welcome addition to the letter without posing a serious threat to the practice of letter writing. In the first place, in order to send a telegram, a person had to go to a telegraph office where forms stating the desired message were filled out and then given to the telegraph operator, who would then send the message when he had the time. So the comfort and convenience of writing a letter from home couldn't really be duplicated in the process of sending a telegram. And also, maybe more importantly, senders of telegrams were charged by the word.
Oh, geez.
Well, that makes the telegram kind of expensive and useful only for very short messages. So long, friendly letters meant not only to share important news, but also to bring people closer in spirit. Well, you do that in a letter.
Yeah.
Because you didn't really want to pay all that for those telegraphs. So with the advent of the telephone, that started to change that dynamic, though. Though the expense involved and the initial limit on the distance over which calls could be placed were kind of mitigating factors, Americans eventually adopted the telephone into their homes and their lifestyles. And then instantly, communication from the comfort of your home became possible for most Americans. As the telephone's technological prowess increased, well, so did lengthy conversations. Telephone calls provided the intimate connection that telegrams could not, and they became America's preferred way of keeping in touch. Although the convenience and relative affordability of the telephone allowed it to supersede the letter as the predominant form of communication in America, letter writing was still a necessary skill in some areas of life. Telephone calls, while affordable and instantaneous, they leave no written record of what was said. And that makes them useful but not definitive in terms of concluding business transactions. While those same characteristics that makes an ordinary conversation difficult to remember applies to a telephone call. That's what we call the telephone game, right?
Right.
It causes letter writing to remain necessary where the information has to be sent in a more permanent binding format. Well, over the course of the 20th century, letters went from being the preferred method of communication in America to being outstripped by the convenience of the telephone. Another of the functions traditionally performed by the letter, that of relaying news to those who were far away and might not have heard it, was absorbed first by the radio and then, of course, by the television. News from around the world was now available through these media every day. So the informative letter kind of got pushed to the background. Well, the internet boom of the 1990s then created the first form of communication with the potential to completely overtake the letter's place in American society, and that would be the email. As a written form of communication, printed emails are permanent like a letter, but they can also be sent instantly and be replied to just as quickly. Oh, don't we know that? Well, they blend the convenience and speed of a telephone call with the long-lasting quality of a physical message, so no wonder emails recently become the country's most popular form of communication. Now, despite the fact that increased email use means fewer physical letters, email may actually produce a revived interest in the art of letter writing. There's a book called, it says Lisa Grunwald and Stephen J. Adler, in the preface to their book Letters of a Century, reveal the unexpected benefits of the email explosion. They say, but if email is a threat to real letters, it is nonetheless reviving certain skills of communicating that became rusty with the telephone, and it's giving anyone open-minded enough to try it the joy of putting thoughts into words that they can see. So even though it's maybe by email, people are doing a little bit of letter writing again that way. So I guess I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but as technology advances, it's not just email. Everything was a threat over time. Television, radio, all these other forms of communication and things. You know, another threat, too, to a certain extent, is there are many schools in this country now that don't teach cursive writing.
Really? That just seems weird.
I mean, it does. It's stupid is it is, to put a word on it. It's just dumb. I mean, how do you not teach kids how to write?
Right.
They teach them how to keyboard at an early age. Well, that's great until you have to sign your name and you have no idea how to do it.
But... read it, somebody else's,
Yeah, there are a lot of these different educational ideas out there. Some are worthwhile and some are worth dropping in the toilet. But, yeah, you know, I think back, you know, what would, you know, what's really, so many of us, when we've cleaned out attics and things over the years, some of the greatest possessions that we've found aren't, you know, toys or this or that. Some of them are letters that we may have found from our parents or grandparents written back and forth, perhaps when they were in World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get any more personal than that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the great stories and things that were told. It was the only way they could communicate.
Yeah.
And sometimes it took weeks, maybe months, for those letters to get from point to point. You know, when I was young and in college, the care package or the letter, seeing a letter in the mailbox, no greater feeling in the world. I mean, nowadays, kids never get a chance to get away from mom and dad. The phone is kind of, I mean, it doesn't have a cord on it, but it's kind of like an umbilical cord. They never cut free. You know, they're always attached. They can communicate back and forth constantly, which can be good and it can be bad, too.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent, you got to cut them loose and, you know, let them grow up a little bit on their own and stop depending on things. But, yeah, it's but, they're, you know, you really miss out on some of the great joys of life when you don't actually get to experience some of the personal feelings and stuff that you can through a letter. You know, it's one thing to hack something out real quick, but when you sit and you're thinking about what you're writing and what have you, it sometimes the prose gets even better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lost art. I'm glad some folks like Ruth still do that. So, yeah, we appreciate that. So maybe now that we're thinking about it, maybe sit down and write a letter today.
Yeah.
Write a letter to somebody. Try it once. Maybe you'll remember what it was like.
A nice surprise.
Yeah. They might like it. You never know.
I bet they'll love it.
I bet they will. All right. Well, all that said, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with some things going on here around the area in just a moment.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are, too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back to work. What you got there?
All right, well, in Macedonia, the Gristmill Theater in Macedonia, they're presenting the comedy Mama Won't Fly, and then their final performance is on Sunday, April 13th. That's at 2:30, and you can get tickets by calling 712-486-2216. Again, that's the Gristmill Theater in Macedonia comedy Mama Won't Fly, and that's April 13th at 2:30, and you can get those tickets by calling 486-2216. Small as Beautiful Churches will perform an Easter cantata, Crown Him King, on Palm Sunday, April 13th. That's at 2 p.m. at Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. And then they'll also perform again at 7 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle. Audubon County Choirs and Individuals present Lent and Easter arrangements on April 13th. That will be held at 7 p.m. at the Exira Lutheran Church. And then they'll have lunch following in the church basement. Also on Palm Sunday is a pancake brunch that's on April 13th at the Audubon Memorial Building from 10:30 to 2. Boy Scout Troop 103 is serving and the funds will go to support a trip to Canada. Advance tickets are $5 or $7 at the door, and you can get those tickets at Ace Hardware, Brinkman Ag Solutions, or by contacting Chris at 563-4519. It's Palm Sunday pancake brunch on April 13th at the Audubon Memorial Building from 10:30 to 2. The Marx Brothers invade screen and stage at Warren Cultural Center. That's on April 14th at 7 p.m. It's the center's monthly Monday movie featuring Animal Crackers. Mayhem ensues in this 1930 classic comedy when a valuable painting goes missing during a party in honor of a famed African explorer. All seats for the movie are just $3, and refreshments include beer and wine are available. The movie is a great warm-up for the live stage presentation, An Evening with Groucho, by Frank Ferrant. That's going to be presented on April 26th at the Warren Cultural Center. If you'd like tickets for that performance, they're available in advance online or at Ed and Ava's store. Again, that's the Marx Brothers, the Warren Cultural Center is featuring their movie Animal Crackers on April 14th at 7 p.m. A dramatization of The Living Last Supper will be held at St. John's United Church of Christ, just south of Lyman. That's on April 16th at 7 p.m. The event is presented by the First United Methodist Church in Harlan, and they'll have fellowship following in the basement after the presentation, and everyone is welcome to attend. It's a dramatization of The Living Last Supper on April 16th at 7 p.m., and that's at St. John's United Church of Christ, just south of Lyman. A Red Cross Blood Drive is coming up in Griswold. That's on April 17th from 11 to 5. That will be held at the Central Church of Christ. Over in Exira, the Food Bank of Iowa's mobile food pantry, they're going to make a stop at the Exira Rec Center on April 17th from 4:30 to 5:30. So residents of Audubon County from all walks of life are invited to come to the mobile pantry. You can bring your own bags or boxes to carry your goods. If you have any questions, you can contact Tanya Vetter. Again, that's the mobile food pantry making a stop at the Exira Rec Center on April 17th from 4:30 to 5:30. A Red Cross blood drive will be held in Atlantic on April 22nd. That is from noon to 4, and that will be held at Molly. In observance of Earth Day, the Atlantic Royal Neighbors are sponsoring a cleanup that will be held at the Shelburgh Recreation Area. That's on April 22nd at 4. And then you can park in the West parking lot. Make sure you wear some old clothes, old shoes, and bring gloves. They'll provide the plastic bags, and everyone is welcome to help clean up the park. Again, that's the Atlantic Royal Neighbors, and they're sponsoring that, the cleanup at the Shelburgh Recreation Area on April 22nd. That starts at 4. The CCMH Auxiliary Annual Soup and Salad Luncheon, that's on April 23rd at the Catholic Parish Center from 11 to 1, just $6. And if you'd like tickets for that, you can contact Marcella Gaines at 243-5326. It's the CCMH Auxiliary Annual Soup and Salad Luncheon, April 23rd. At the Atlantic Catholic Parish Center from 11 to 1. Also, the Friends of the Library, the Atlantic Library Spring Used Book Sale is coming up. That's April 24th from 11 to 5:30, and then also Friday, April 25th from 9:30 to 6, and again on Saturday from 9:30 to noon, and proceeds from that go to the Atlantic Public Library.
Lots of stuff.
Yes.
I got some more, too. Some of it's this weekend yet. In fact, this Sunday, the Audubon Boy Scout Troop 103 will be serving a Palm Sunday pancake brunch, helping to support their trip to Canada. Now, that'll be this Sunday, April 13th, at the Memorial Building in Audubon from 10:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can get your tickets, $5 if you can get them in advance, or $7 at the door, and you can get your tickets from any Boy Scout member. Or a couple of other places there as well, but I hope you get a chance to enjoy all of that stuff coming up. Also this weekend, the annual Palm Sunday Kirkman Fire Department Breakfast Fundraiser is being held this Sunday, April 13th, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kirkman Community Building. It's an all-you-can-eat event, and they'll be serving biscuits and sausage gravy, scrambled eggs, ham, pancakes, and beverages, asking for your free will donation. They're going to use the proceeds to help out with the fire equipment. So again, that's the Kirkman Fire Department's Breakfast Fundraiser. They do it every year on Palm Sunday, April 13th, this Sunday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kirkman Community Building. Also, the Corley Community Club is having its annual meeting and dinner this Sunday, April 13th. The doors opening at 5:30. Dinner will be at 6 o'clock. And as always, they welcome their members and new members. And again, that's this Sunday, April 13th, 5:30, the doors open. 6 o'clock will be the dinner. It's the annual meeting and dinner of the Corley Community Club. Let's see. Coming up this week as part of Holy Week ceremony celebrations, there'll be a dramatization of The Living Last Supper. Did you talk about that already?
St. John's?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you got that one. Okay. Yeah, that's this Wednesday, April 16th, 7 p.m., and that's your old church.
Yes.
You still go there?
Once in a while.
Once in a while with family?
Yeah.
Good. Also, let's see, coming up we have, this is the 6th Annual Hunters Relay for Life Fundraiser, and this will be April 19th at the Guthrie Center Community Building on the Guthrie Center Fairgrounds. The meal will begin at 6 o'clock and dance to the music of the band Spam. Mm. No, they're not just, you know, opening up a can. No. 8 to 11 p.m. is where they'll be, is when they'll be doing that. Carryouts are available. There are a whole bunch of folks you can get your tickets from if you want to get them in advance. They're $10 per person, or you can get them at the door as well. And again, that's coming up on April 19th, 6th Annual Hunters Relay for Life fundraiser at the Guthrie Center Community Building at the Fairgrounds in Guthrie Center. $10 per person if you'd like to participate in that event. Lots of good stuff happening there.
Yeah.
Also, we have the 40th year celebration is being planned for April 25th at the Adair Meal Site. Their Adair Congregate Meal Site celebrating its 40th anniversary. They'll have things getting started at 11 a.m. with a roast beef dinner and then entertainment. They do ask for reservations. You need to make those by April 23rd. And you can call the Senior Center in Adair at 641-742-5202. That's, again, coming up on April the 25th. If you would like to be a part of that event. So you have your opportunity to get involved in that as well. So good variety of stuff we've got there for folks to enjoy. Yeah. Well, you got any birthdays for us this week?
I do. The family of Helen Clefman of Portsmouth is planning an open house in honor of her 90th birthday. They're going to hold that celebration on Sunday, April 13th from noon to 4 at St. Mary's Parish Hall in Portsmouth, and friends and relatives are invited. If you can't make it and like to send her a card, you can send that to her at P.O. Box 1, Portsmouth, Iowa 51565. Helen has 17 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren, and they are asking for no gifts, please. Again, that's happy birthday to Helen Clefman of Portsmouth, celebrating her 90th birthday with an open house on Sunday, April 13th from noon to 4. That's at St. Mary's Parish Hall in Portsmouth, and you can send her a card to P.O. Box 1 in Portsmouth, 51565. They're having a birthday card shower for Keith and Marilyn Grable. Keith celebrated his 80th birthday on April 11th, and Marilyn will be celebrating her 79th birthday on April 16th. So I'd like to wish him a happy birthday and send him a card. Send that to 1055 185th Street in Audubon, 50025. Again, happy birthday to Keith Grable, celebrating his 80th birthday, celebrated his 80th birthday on April 11th, and to Marilyn Grable, celebrating her 79th birthday on April 16th. And their address is 1055 185th Street in Audubon, 50025. Over at the Sam Luther Home, just one birthday. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Robert DeVore, celebrating his birthday on April 13th.
Very good. Have a an anniversary here to share with you as well, and we do need to apologize up front. This one kind of got lost in the shuffle here in our little filing system, so we missed it last week, but we would like to wish Jack and Darlene Plank of Atlantic a happy 63rd wedding anniversary. Their anniversary was this last Tuesday, April the 8th. Now, if you'd still like to send a card, I bet they'd love to read it. You could send a card to them at 2108 Oak Street in Atlantic, 50022. Or it says here on the card, just give them a call, 243-3350. They'll have a family celebration at a later date, and their children sent this note out for us. So, again, our apologies for not getting this before the fact, but we got it after the fact.
Yeah.
Thanks and congratulations to Jack and Darlene Plank on celebrating their 63rd wedding anniversary on Tuesday, April the 8th. Long-time Atlantic residents, good community members. Appreciate that. We know that they listen to what we do here, too, and we appreciate very much that opportunity to help entertain them a little bit. We hope we're entertaining.
Well, yeah. We think so.
No. Yeah. Well, we think a lot of things that aren't true.
True.
Speaking of entertaining, I don't know what you have on your plate for later on, but we did announce the other day that we do have a couple more weeks. If you'd like to sign up to go with us on our trip to Branson this June, we've been sponsoring a trip. This will be our fifth year now of sending a couple of buses off to Branson. Got a good group set up, but we do have some more seats left. So the tour company gave us some more time if we want to fill them up. You know, we never completely fill the buses because, frankly, we don't want to. We want to leave a little room.
Because I'm more comfortable.
Yeah, you know, for supplies and some things and people to spread out a little bit, you know. So we never want to completely fill it up so that we're all elbow to elbow. But we do have some more space if you'd like to get on the bus. And I know some folks it was difficult to make that decision early, you know, too early on, and they've been kind of thinking about it. But we do have some more time. So you can sign up on our bus trip yet through April 25th. So you have a couple of more weeks to do that. Just call Stacy.
Yep.
She'll get you set up. She knows all the right questions to ask and get you set up so that you're ready to go. It's $500 per person, double occupancy, if you want to go. It's a discounted rate. We're going to keep that discounted rate. We're not going to, you know, we had a discounted rate. We were going to move it up to the regular rate, but that's all right.
Yeah.
We'll just leave the discounted rate. We'll give you the deal, the bargain, a little bit longer here. But we got some great stuff. We're going to enjoy the Hey Goods show, one of the traditional Branson shows there. We're going to enjoy the Jonah show at the Sight and Sound Theater and get a backstage tour as well, behind-the-scenes tour. Great opportunity to see how they actually operate that incredible theater that they have there. And we'll also enjoy Dancing Queen. It's an ABBA tribute show. If you happen to catch Mamma Mia and enjoyed the music and stuff of that, that's what you're going to enjoy, that kind of stuff. It's at the same theater where we've gone to the 12 Irish Tenors and some of the same performers. So you know they're going to put on a great show. And then also we're going to do another tribute show. It's the Johnny Cash George Strait tribute show. A lot of country music that folks will very much recognized. We'll have fun with that, too. We're going to eat at some great places. We're going to have a three-hour sightseeing cruise. It's more of a relaxing river cruise is what it amounts to.
I think that would be awesome.
Air-conditioned inside if you don't want to be outside in the sun, but some of us like to be out in the sun. I got all my sun last summer on that one day. Yeah, that was my sun for the summer. But, yeah, we have a good time with that. Lunch will be served on the cruise. Just a nice way, time to relax and maybe visit a little bit with folks. But we're also going to have lunch at the Keter Center again at the College of the Ozarks. They always put together a great meal for us. It's terrific. We're going to eat at some other places, Montana Mike's Steakhouse, Mel's Hard Luck Diner, where the waiters and waitresses all sing and all roller skate. And then we're also going to eat at McFarland's, which is one of our regular stops there as well. We'll make a couple of stops along the way. We've got Aero Motor Coach taking us down and back, and we'll make a few stops along the way so you can pick up some lunch. We will provide snacks and bottled water on the bus, but we'll make a couple of stops if you want to grab something for lunch or bring something with you if you'd like to. It's June 10th through the 13th. Those are the dates. We're staying at the Camden Hotel and Conference Center, which is the same location we had last year, kind of in the middle of everything. So we kind of like that location. It works out pretty well. You'll have a deluxe breakfast every morning that'll be provided by the hotel. And then at night, because, you know, you can't get enough food when you're on vacation, they'll also have free cobbler, cookies, and ice cream for us before you head to bed, too.
Yum.
So, boy, it's, you know, it's a lot of food. If you're hungry, it's your own fault. But we got a lot of great sponsors for the trip, so that's why it remains such a good deal, such an inexpensive deal. So it's June 10th. We'll leave Tuesday, June 10th, and we'll hit our first dinner and shows that night when we get there. And then we'll have all day Wednesday, all day Thursday before we head home on Friday, June 13th. Yeah, I said Friday the 13th. We'll be leaving from Branson, get back in Atlantic at a reasonable time so you can still enjoy your evening, and you'll have a good experience with a lot of good friends.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people that go year to year. So if you've been considering maybe going, but you just couldn't pull the trigger early on because of schedules or whatever, well, you have some more time now.
Yes.
So April 25th will be the deadline. And again, it's $500 per person, double occupancy. We also have different rates if you want to stay single in a room or three to a room or four to a room. So you can check online at our website. Go to the contest and promotions page at kjan.com where you can see some bullet point information there about the trip. Or you can actually see the itinerary. It's a PDF file there. Just click on that. It'll open up for you so you can actually see that and print it out if you'd like. Or you can just give Stacy a call.
Yeah.
And she'll ask you all, she'll answer all your questions, ask you the right ones so she can get the information she needs, and we can get you all signed up and ready to go. Because I'd hate to have somebody miss out.
Yeah.
Just because, well, it was just too soon to make a decision on that. So you still have some time. So if you want to go with us, we'd love to have you.
Yeah,
we always
definitely
have a good time. So we hope you get a chance to enjoy that with us. Well, here we are down the home stretch. Easter Sunday next week. Got any big plans?
You know, I don't know yet.
Other people are making them?
Yeah, pretty much. We
gotcha.
We know when to show up is what I need to find out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Palm Sunday this week, and then we head into Holy Week this next week. So hope you have an opportunity to enjoy some of the most beautiful church services of the year come during the Easter season. It's the most important time of the year, certainly the most important holiday in the Christian calendar. So we hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of those things with maybe reconnect a little bit with family and friends, too, through some of the things you'll be doing this next week. That's all the time we have for you here this week. This is Jim Field.
And Stacy Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.